Hey, Summit family, welcome.
Or welcome back.
Brian, I will tell you when it's your turn to talk. Welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Brian and I are the teaching pastors of the Summit Church. I'm Pastor J.D. Greer and the ever-eager.
And I'm Pastor Brian Laritz. We are very thankful you have come to listen to the message from this week.
You know, our mission here at the Summit Church is to follow the Holy Spirit in creating a movement of disciple-making disciples here in Raleigh-Durham and around the world.
And we are encouraged by you coming to listen and to know God through His Word. We do have many resources here at the Summit Church to help you grow as a disciple in worship, witnessing, stewardship, servanthood, and as a church and community member.
Yeah, you know, and the best place to check all that out is at our website, summitchurch.com, or even better would be our Summit Church app. It's got a lot of great tools on it, ways that you can get connected, way it can be more than just a listening experience, but really kind of just a part of your discipleship process.
Yes, there are several ways to plug in, and we hope you will join us on mission.
Ultimately, we're excited and very thankful that you are listening, and we hope this teaching is going to deepen your relationship with God and encourage your mission to be sent both to your community and those around you.
Well, good morning, y'all. We've got a lot to get to today, so go ahead and turn to Matthew 4, 18 through 22. Turn there, scroll there. For the family and friends that are in town for the holiday weekend, we are so glad that y'all are here with us. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is John, and I get the joy of serving here as the campus pastor at our Capitol Hills campus. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now you heard Pastor J.D. say that we are introducing something called the whole disciple today. It's not anything new. We find it in Scripture. In fact, here at the Summit Church, we find everything we say and do in Scripture. If we ever say or do something that is not in that book, I want you to come to me and call us out on it, because we want to be people of the Word and stand on the Word. So everything I'm going to talk to you today comes from the Word of God. It comes from our desire to be disciple-making disciples. When we read here, we see that that is what we are called to do. But our mission statement is just that. It's a mission statement. Following the Holy Spirit, we exist, the Summit Church, to be a movement of disciple-making disciples here in RDU and around the world. That is what we aspire to. That's aspirational. And today, I want to talk to you about how we're going to move aspirational to actual. How we are going to live that out. How we are going to walk as disciple-making disciples. Now, all of us in here have aspirational values. Each and every one of us have things that we aspire to. You may aspire to be stronger. You may aspire to be smarter. You may aspire, like me, to go all week and not eat any ice cream, but you drive by to Roosters and their new flavors are just amazing. And so you go in and get 3 or 4 pints. Right? Just, you know, because 2 will not do. If you have never been to 2 Roosters, that is an action step for you today. I want you to go and be blessed. But aspirational John is the most noble guy in the world. At night, I'm the most noble guy. In the morning, I'm going to wake up. I'm not going to snooze my alarm. I'm going to read through the entire New Testament. I'm going to memorize the book of Ephesians. I'm going to take a walk with Ashley. I'm going to wake my son up singing hymns to him. Instead, I wake up to my son drop kicking the door at 5 a.m. and then immediately actual John takes over. So today, I believe that each and every one of you have spiritual aspirations. That's why you're here. That's why you're here and not shopping at Aldi right now. You are here because spiritually you aspire to something. Now that might be you are just new to this whole thing called Jesus Christ and called Christianity, and you just want to learn more. So you're aspiring for knowledge. It might be that some of you here have experienced some suffering and hardship this week or this year, and you're aspiring for some comfort. It might be that some of you are wanting to grow in your walk with Christ and wanting to gain biblical knowledge. Well, then you aspire to that. Each and every one of us in here have spiritual aspirations, and we do as a church as well. following the Holy Spirit. We exist to create a movement of disciple-making disciples here in RDU and around the world. But we know with every aspiration has to come action steps. The action steps lead to the actual. And so today, I don't want you to hear me giving you more to do. I'm not giving you more to do. I am wanting to enrich and grow your walk with God. Now, each and every one of us in here are gonna have at least two action steps coming out of this. I think two is the max. But what I don't want you to hear is a guilt trip. Now, you may have come to the church and you might be here and you might say, John, but I have been through a church where I was just told, do. I need to do this. I need to be this. I need to be more. I need to do this more. I need to be this more. Look, that is not what I'm saying today. This is not a guilt trip. It's discipleship. Discipleship is us growing in our walk with God. So I don't want you to hear me telling you to do more so that you can earn more, because everything you need has been earned from Jesus Christ and is given to you. And so I'm not telling you to do more. I'm telling you to experience more. Experience more of your walk with God, because when we experience more as disciples, then we become disciple makers. So let's read Matthew 4, 18 through 22 again. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now I know you're like me, you read this or you hear this and you think, why in the world would four Jewish young men choose to just leave everything and follow this random guy that just walked by them at the sea? It'd be like you at the beach, somebody walking by you saying, "Follow me," and you just leave everything and follow him. In a vacuum, that's weird. That's just weird. So I wanna give you context to this. In the Jewish culture, which Matthew here is writing to a Jewish audience to show them that Jesus is the Messiah that they have been waiting on, in the Jewish culture, you have what is called the school of Torah, or the Torah school. That is the first five books of the Bible. That is called the law. That is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Every Jewish boy from the time they were 5 to 10 would go to school and they would learn the entire books of the Torah. They would learn all five of them. Now, once they hit 10, they would run through some tests and evaluations, and only the best and the brightest would go on to learn the rest of the Old Testament, Joshua through Malachi. Now, becoming a rabbi was the most desired job in the Jewish world. It was the most lucrative job. It was the best job. It was the most esteemed job. There were no professional athletes then. There were no anything else like careers that we have now. It was a job that was desired by everyone. So if the elite made it at age 10, they went on to age 17. Now, the best and the brightest at age 17 then went and sat at the feet of a rabbi. They went and sat at their feet to show them, "I want you to pour into me. I want to be your disciple," which is called the Talmud. I want to be a Talmud. I want to be a follower of you. And so as they would sit at the rabbi's feet, the rabbi would bombard them with questions and evals and tests and ask them things about scripture and things about their life. If they passed this test, then they were allowed to become disciples of the rabbi. They were allowed to be their Talmud. They were allowed to follow the rabbi. And as they would follow the rabbi, they would learn from him. They would talk like him. They would become like him. They would eat like him. They would sleep where he slept. They would live where he lived. They would hear him talk. They would watch him. They would engage. They would even have the dust of his feet on them. In fact, one of the greatest compliments a disciple could get is that somebody would say, "The dust of your rabbi is on you." And so they would then become like their rabbi. You know, in fact, in this time, there was a special kind of rabbi, a more elite rabbi. There was only 10 to 12 in Jesus's time that existed. And in this, these rabbis possessed what was called shmikah. I want you to say shmikah. Shmiha. It's like Mr. Shmee from Peter Pan with like you're hacking up the first cold you're about to get this fall, all right? Shmiha, Shmiha. And so these rabbis possess Shmiha. Shmiha now had five requirements. The first is you had to be a master of the Torah. The second is you had to speak and teach with authority. The third is you had some new insights to scripture. The fourth is that you perform miracles. And then the fifth is that Shmiha had to be conferred on you by two existing rabbis with Shmiha. This was an elite thing. This was an elite place to be. Now, whenever you look at Jesus's life, we see that Jesus taught at the age 12 in temple and taught the Torah as one who had knowledge. We look throughout the Old Testament and we see that many times it said he spoke with authority. We also see that Jesus gave new insight by saying, you have heard it said, but I tell you. Jesus, of course, even right after this in Matthew 4, performed miracles. And right before this, Jesus went out into the wilderness and was baptized by John the Baptist. And in that, the heavens opened up, the Spirit of God descended like a dove, and God himself said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. If you were there, your Shmiha alarm should be going off. This guy has Shmiha. He is the elite of the elite rabbi. And so Andrew, who was a disciple of John the Baptist, who in the book of John, it tells us that he went and found Peter, his brother, and said, this is the Messiah that we have been waiting for, already knew who Jesus was. We see James and John, who are at the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus was. It's not like they haven't heard of him, just like it's not like things happen in Wake Forest and we don't hear about them here. They are aware of him. And here is Jesus on the Sea of Galilee walking by, looking at these Jewish boys who have flunked out of school, who are not the elite of the elite, who were not considered the best and the brightest, who were fishing. And he looks at them and says, follow me. Now you might say, well, what other choice did they have? And you would be right. What other choice did they have? These are four young men that have failed out of school, the most desired job, and now this rabbi with Shmiha is walking by them saying, I don't care what your grades were. I don't care what you have done. It's not about you. It's about what I'm gonna do through you. Follow me. Follow me. And see, you may say, what other choice do they have? But I will say to you, what other choice do you have? Their physical state is our spiritual state. We have flunked out in the school of holiness. We have sinned. We have broken God's laws. We do not deserve God to send his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sin, but he does, and a holy, just God sends a savior for us, and he walks by the sea of our lives and says, follow me. We don't deserve him. We don't deserve to follow him. There's nothing good we bring to God. In fact, the prophet Isaiah says, there is no one good, not one. There is nothing good about us. You did not get almost to God and Jesus just brought you home. You are not good enough for God. I want you to know that our sin has rendered us guilty of the penalty of death, but Jesus Christ says, follow me. This should bring hope and humility to us. Hope to us in that if you came in here today weighed down by your sin, you may have done something last night, last week that you can't believe that you did or you did again. I want you to know that Jesus knows that. And Jesus knew that when he died for you on the cross. And Jesus says to you this morning, follow me. This should also humble us in the fact that we didn't do anything for this. We don't deserve this. We are poor, broken, flunked out fishermen. That we should be left in our sin. We should be left to be fishermen. All our talents and abilities earn us that. Yet Jesus Christ says, follow me. It is not about us, it is about him. And Jesus Christ extends that invitation to you today. That may be your first action step. You may see that you have never followed Jesus Christ. Because to follow, it takes two things. Two things. The first, you have to see your need. You have to see your need that you actually need to follow. Now, imagine all of us decided to go spelunking in a cave. I don't know what spelunking is, but you do it in a cave. So we're all gonna go spelunking in a cave. Imagine us all in a cave. It's a big cave, it's damp. And so we're in the cave collapses, no way out. One of you stand up and say, I know the way out. What are we going to do? Are we gonna just sit around and die, or are we gonna follow that person to life? We're gonna follow them. We're not gonna interview them. We're not gonna go, now, wait a second. Where are you from? What was your GPA? Now, what is your life like? We're gonna go, great, we're so glad you're here. We're going to follow you out of here because the only alternative is death. Same thing with Jesus Christ. Same thing with him. So we have to see our need. You have to see that you are a sinner in need of a savior. You have to see that your sin broke the primary relationship that you were created for in your life. John 1 says, all things were created by Jesus Christ. All things were created through him, and all things were created for him. And so you were created by God, for God, to be in a relationship with God, yet you chose something besides God to be your God. In doing that, you sinned. And in that sin, you broke your relationship with God. God does not leave you there. God sends his son, Jesus Christ, but you have to see that need. The first thing about following is that you've got to see your need. The second is you've got to go. You've got to go. You've got to go. You can't do what I do. And when I floss my teeth one or two times a year, I see my need for a dentist. I see that. If any of you have a great dentist, let me know. I'm in the market. So I see my need. But what do? I think I just need to floss for a week and I don't need to see a dentist for a year. That's what I do. Do I actually follow up on it? No, because I don't take any action. Seeing your need is good, but it doesn't change anything unless you get up and go. You have to actually go. You have to actually follow. We see here that Peter and Andrew and James and John dropped their nets, left their boats, and went after Jesus Christ. See, the tricky thing about following is it's got a cost. Following Jesus has a cost, and that cost is everything. Everything. Following Jesus costs you everything. When you surrender your life to him as your Lord and Savior, you no longer are in control. It costs you control of your life, who you date, where you live, what you do for a job, what you do for a career, who your friends are, the music you listen to, how you live your life, when you go to sleep, what you read, what you watch, everything. Everything now is not run through your desires, but his desires. He is in control now. And that control is tough. We don't want to relinquish that control to him. And that is the cost of following Jesus Christ is everything. But the cost of not following Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. We miss out on Jesus. Imagine if these four boys just were standing there by their boats and they saw Jesus come by and they were just, and he says, follow me. And they say, all right, man. And he just walked on. What did they miss? Jesus, relationship with him, salvation, hope, peace, security, fulfillment, relationship, companionship, the thing that they actually desire most in this world, the thing that they need most in this world is being saved from their sins, yet they don't follow him. You know, the thing I love about the word disciple as opposed to Christian is that Christian is only used 3 times in the New Testament. Disciple is used 281 times. Disciple means you get up and go. See, we've watered down Christian in our world because you can actually claim to be a Christian here today and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. You treat God like somebody you follow on Instagram. You like what he says, you like his reels, you think he's funny, you think he's wise, but he really doesn't have that much of an impact on your day-to-day life. You like to be aware of him, but you don't want to serve him. Following Jesus Christ means you leave everything. And a faith that doesn't cost you anything is not a faith worth having. This faith, this walk in Jesus Christ costs you everything, but you get him, which is greater than anything you could have in this world. You were created by him and for him, not for this world. And some of you today are struggling with that. You see your need, but you just don't want to give up control. And I want you to know there is a cost to that. And the cost of that is eternity. The cost of that is your relationship with God. That may be your action step today. Again, this is not a guilt trip. This is discipleship. And when we choose to leave and follow Jesus Christ, we enter into a relationship with him, a lordship relationship with him, where we begin to walk with him, talk with him, engage with him, and become like him. And this is where the whole disciple comes in, is that we have five identities that we believe you should be growing in as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to look at these five identities and not say true false. All right, this is not a true false. I want you to treat them like my primary care physician does my lab work every year at my physical, all right? Where he checks my lab work, he's like, you need more iron, you need more vitamin D, you actually need to eat a vegetable every now and then. And so he is going through this list, not are you alive? Yes, you pass. But it's John, what do you need to do to grow in life? That's how I want you to see these next five things. Not have I done them once in the past year, check, but what are they like as habits in my life? And as we're walking through these, I want you to ask, God, show me one, maybe two, that I really want to grow in for the rest of the year. I'm not saying for the next 10 years, but from just now to the end of 2023. The first identity is a worshiper. Worshiper. We believe that a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ that has grown in the five identities and leads others to do the same. The first identity is worshiper. Now, what I mean by that is three things. One, someone who comes here and worships on the weekend or comes to Thursday night, viable as well. You get what I'm saying. Comes here and corporately worships on the weekend. You come and you are here and you sing and you hear God's word and you pray and you look around and see other people praying and crying and worshiping and you are moved. Hebrews says, let us not forsake the habit of meeting together. We don't want to stop meeting together because that's what grows us in our faith. Coming here moves us. Coming here grows us. Coming here reminds us of who God is and who we as a church are called to be. The second is Bible study. Bible study. Psalm 119 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We want the word of God to guide everything that we say and do here. We want to stand on the word of God. We say all the time that when life cuts us, we want to bleed the word of God. That's why we have a Bible study plan available for you on our app. If you don't know where to start, start in the book of John and just start reading. Get into the word of God because it needs to get into you and change you. The next is prayer. Prayer. These are graces that God has given to us. Gathering together, Bible study and prayer. And when you avail yourself of them, you begin to have your affections grow for him. That's when the walk with God moves from aspirational to actual. Prayer is why we do 24 hours of prayer, which we just did. It's why we have prayer time during all of our services. It's why we have the boiler room. It's why we say pray first, second, and third, because it is our means of communicating with the Creator God. It is our means of bringing our hearts and our lives to him. A worshiper is someone who engages in corporate worship, Bible study, and prayer. The next is family member. Family member. We want to be a family of God here. And in order to do that, you have to actually become a member of the body of Christ here. You have to actually covenant with us. You have to actually say, you can hold me accountable to live in light of the biblical principles that I see in God's word, and I will do the same to you. Being a family member is being in relationship with each other. And discipleship happens in relationship. That's why Jesus tells these four boys, follow me. He's saying, come be in relationship with me. He didn't just drop by and say, hey boys, here's everything you ever need to do for the rest of your life. He says, come with me. Follow me. It's the same thing with joining the church and becoming a member of the church. You become accountable to your desires and your walk with God here. And we become accountable to you. It's you saying, don't let me fall. And it's me saying, don't let me fall. A family cares for one another. It's how we fulfill the one another commands that we see in Scripture. Love one another. Bear with one another. You know, I love that everybody is here right now. And I know that not all of you are members, but those of you that are not, you are missing out on being a part of the family of God here. You cannot grow in your walk with God alone and isolated by yourself. If Summit Church is not a place that you want to become a member of God's family at, then that is fine. I understand. I want to help you find a church where you can, because being a member matters. It's also being in community and being in relationship. That's why we have things like our small groups, because we want you to be in relationship. That's why we have men's and women's ministry. We want you to be eye to eye and knee to knee with people, looking into their lives, and so that they can care for you and you can care for them. It's why we have our student ministry and our kids ministry. Look, if you have a middle school or high schooler here and they are not involved in our student ministry, what are you doing? They need to be in discipleship relationships with people that are going through the same things that they are going through, that are seeing and hearing the same things that they are. Yes, you as a mom and dad are the primary disciplers in their life, but they need to be in community. We need to be in relationship with one another. Now is a great time to start that. We had our women's event last week. We had Group Link, where you connect to a small group, last week. We've got our young adults ministry starting up, called The Heights, coming up. We have our men's event coming up this Friday, which is the start of our men's discipleship. Now is the time for you to get into relationships here, because you cannot walk with God alone. You cannot walk with God by yourself. You should not trust yourself to know everything you need to know about Jesus Christ. So we have worshiper, family member, servant. Jesus Christ did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, I worked in a hotel as a maid once. It was awesome. I would wake people up at 8 a.m. and bang on the door and yell, "Housekeeping," partially because I'm 6'6 and kind of intimidating at first from a distance. And so I would bang on the door. But you know how people treated those rooms at the Howard Johnson in Cocoa Beach? Terribly. They would throw towels all over the floor. They would throw, I found soap everywhere. It was just unreal. The place would just be trashed. But you know what I would do? Clean it up. You know what doesn't happen at an Airbnb? Nobody cleans it up, right? You have to do it yourself. Some of us in here treat this church as a hotel. And you come in here and you use all the towels. You use all the soap. You use all the shampoo and conditioner. You sleep in both beds for no reason. And then you come back next week and guess what? Maid service has cleaned it all up for you. Now, some of you need to be there. Some of you are coming out of some real hurt and pain, and that's where you need to be. But families don't stay in hotels. They stay in homes. If you're a family member, you don't stay in a hotel. Look, we have a body of Christ here that needs to be served. We have 650 kids right across that lobby this morning. Do you think we have enough people to disciple them and care for them? No. The answer is no. We have 250 middle schoolers here on a Sunday morning. Do you think we have enough people to disciple them and care for them? No. We have over 2,000 of y'all that come here every weekend. Do you think we have enough people to greet you, park you, pray for you, smile at you, talk to you? No, we don't. Because we're not a hotel. We're a church. We're a body of Christ. We're a family. And we need you to begin to serve here on the weekend. Now, I know there are those of you that serve in men's and women's and small groups and serve in other things. And I'm not talking about our local outreach opportunities. I'm talking about here when you attend service. If you just attend and walk right back out, those are hotel tendencies. I need you to engage here. There are kids over there that their lives depend on it, and you may be the only adult that shares Jesus Christ with them this week. Students are the same. Do you know what our students are facing right now? They need you. They need your prayers, but they need you to go. They don't need you just to see the need. They need you to meet the need. The same is true in all of our ministries, men's, women's, small groups. You need to serve because Jesus Christ served. Jesus Christ served. And I need you to serve and pour out your life because he poured out his life for you. The next, steward, worshiper, family member, servant, steward. Now we've talked about how I want you to steward your time. I want you to serve. I also want you to serve where you're gifted at, all right? And so there's a talent and there's a time part to that. But I want to talk about your treasure here. Now, I know inflation's up. I get it. It's up 9 to 10%. If you didn't get a 9 to 10% raise last year, then you got a pay cut. I know life is more expensive now than it was a year ago. I get that. Believe me. I understand. But did you know church stats would say that in an average church, only 10 to 20% of people give in a meaningful way? That is not even the 10% tithe. That is just in a meaningful way. And so that would mean only one out of five of you in this room give. And let me just talk to you about that for a second, because I've heard the objections and they're like, well, my kid just went to college. Well, we've got some medical bills. Well, inflation's high. Well, you know, things are just tight right now. But did you stop paying your HOA dues? Did you stop streaming services? Do you still have vacations? Do you still go out to eat? You still go on date nights? Do you still do other things? Where did you cut? So did inflation hit you or did it hit God? Where did it go? Because it went somewhere. And what I'm worried, look, I'm not telling you to give here because we need to keep on the lights. God will protect his church. He's been doing it for thousands of years. I'm telling you to give for you. You, because Satan has crept in and caused you to live in fear. And he has caused you to trust yourself more than you trust God. He has caused you to be disobedient where he has called you to follow him. Follow him means trusting him, and trusting him primarily as it relates to your finances and putting God first. Do you trust God with today and tomorrow, or do you want to ensure tomorrow and just trust God with today? Look, this is where I struggle. You see me, I shop for clothes at Costco, all right? My cars are 12 to 20 years old. I can't wait for my truck to get 30 years old because then I get an antique tag and I'm pumped about it. And so I don't spend money on things, right? But where I hit, last weekend when Pastor JD talked about what do we rage against, man, I save for the future. Boy, my investments, I will not go on a date night to just put 50 bucks more into a stock. Like I save, I worry about tomorrow. Where I would struggle is if God was like, John, I want you to clear out your portfolio. Whew, like that would be tough because I'm worried that I'm gonna be 72, homeless in a ditch in a box or living with my son. That's an irrational fear, but that's what drives me. All of you have those though. That's why we don't give to God. We make light of it, but it's true. Stats say only one out of five of you give. One out of five. You can look around the room and decide who that is, all right? Worshiper, family member, servant, steward, witness. Witness. This was the whole goal of Matthew 4, 18 through 22. Follow me, I will make you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, fishers of men. This was the whole point. Not follow me for you, not follow me just to create a holy huddle. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Witness is our last identity and witness is the goal. Jesus saved you to transform you more into his image so that then you could go save others. Following Jesus means that we bring others to follow him as well. You know, I hear stories of you all the time, which is amazing. I heard a story of a woman going on a walk in her neighborhood. And in that walk, she just begins to pray. God, I don't know what to do. God, help me reach this neighborhood. All of a sudden, a week or two later, she meets another woman. She meets somebody else and she asks them, hey, would y'all want to be in a Bible study? They begin to say, yes, that Bible study has grown now. Kids are in Summit Kids because of her. We have baptized women from that group. They have gotten saved because of her. I hear the same thing about men starting Bible studies in your home. And it grew so big that you planted two more in two other neighborhoods. I hear the stories about students starting Bible studies at their schools. And they're just trusting God and wanting to be fishers of men in such a way that God begins to grow and reach other students through them. I hear the same thing about small groups. That there's small groups here that have planted small groups for 10 years and hundreds of people are growing as disciples because of them. Who in your life is following Christ because of you following Christ? How are you growing as a witness? Who's following Jesus because of you following Jesus? Now, yes, our kids, yes, yes. Home is the first mission field, but it's not the only one. It's the first, but it's not the only one. I want you to look at the three areas of your life: home, neighborhood, where you live, and work. Where is God calling you to be a witness there? Where is God calling you to just step out in faith and create followers of Jesus Christ there? I don't have time now to get into all the ways and all the things that we have for you to witness, that we have for you to grow as a fisher of men. But I want you to write this down. I want you to come to Live Sent Night, September 20th at 7 p.m. at our Briar Creek campus. And I want you to be there. That is where we're gonna talk about how do we live sin? What do we mean by living sin? What are we gonna do to live sin? Now I know you're thinking, oh, our Briar Creek campus, that's over in Durham. Look, get over it, all right? They drive to us all the time. We are gonna drive to them once. We'll be fine. Like, I will pay for your gas, or Mike will, one of us. But we want you to be there. September 20th, 7 p.m., we want you to come and learn how we are called to be witnesses, because this was the whole goal. Follow me and I will make you holier than you are now, better than you are now, more like me than you are now. No, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Look at your life right now. Where are you fishing? And look, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. That's why they don't call it catching, all right? I know it's hard. It's tough. It's tough. It takes work. It takes your life. And it took the work and the life of Jesus Christ to save you. So it's gonna take the work and your life to save others. But what else is there? Being fishers of men, what else is there? How can we look at a holy, just God and all that he has done for us and not want to do the same for others? I asked you before we got into these identities for God to reveal one of these things for you. One, maybe two, that you want to grow in. Right now, I want to leave you in a prayerful moment to pray for the two things that I have on the screen behind me. I want you to ask God, where do I need to take steps in one of these identities today? And then I want us to pray, God, make my disciple making actual and not just aspirational. I want you to listen to God on prayer one and pray and ask God on prayer two. And then Mike and the team will come and lead us from there.
Thanks so much for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed it and it helps you fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. We would love for you to share this message with the people you know, and also remember to subscribe as well. Have questions about the Summit Church or want to find more resources? download the Summit Church app to easily connect and check out more. Finally, if this message has impacted your life, we would love to hear from you. Let us know through the Summit app or our website, summitchurch.com. We hope you have a great week.